today. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to come out to your house today and enjoy fellowship with one another and enjoying hearing your word taught and preached and sung. And I pray that your perfect will would be done here today at Buffalo Ridge. I thank you for everyone that's here, for everyone that had to make a special effort to be here. I thank you for the bus workers that got up early today and brought in the kids and stuff, and then they're in Sunday school and church today. And I pray that you continue to bless our bus ministry. I pray that you continue to bless these services and be with these three requests that's on our list for Steve Alcorn, that if he has to have surgery, that it'll go well and take care of his problems. I pray for the folks, the Farleys, that are missionaries to Belize. And I could imagine how discouraging it could be out in a field like that and nobody really appreciating what they're trying to do. And lots of our missionaries now are having troubles with the governments in their countries and just a hard way to get the gospel out, but they're trying to do it. And I pray that you bless them today and encourage them. And if some of our folks know them or know their web address or something, maybe send them an encouraging word. And I also pray for the Dale family, that you'll be with them now in this trying time. And bless Angela and all the grandchildren and just be with that family. And be with us in the lesson today. I pray that you would be honored and glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've already sent the offering plates around. Got that done. I guess you could, as far as announcements go for the church, well, you can see them in your bulletin. I'll give you something to read while the lesson's going on. Jody says never fill out those cards while he's preaching, but if you've got one of those you want to fill out, why go ahead and fill it out while I'm teaching. It won't offend me. But it's been a long time since I've taught in here. And I do feel honored to teach in Gary's place. We're blessed in this class to have someone to stand up and teach like Gary does each Sunday. And he knows the Bible. He studies it. And I always learn something when I'm in this class. It might be something that he hadn't even planned on somebody emphasizing or anything like that. But if you'll listen to his lessons, you can tell that he's put a lot of thought, a lot of prayer into the lesson. And so we need to appreciate him. And when he's gone, I want you to miss him. And today, you'll really miss him. But it is an honor to get to teach this place. I just wish I could do near the job that he does week in and week out. And it's not struck me that a 9-year-old boy could understand what a rude awakening is. Now, I've had a few rude awakenings in my life. It wasn't third grade. And he's in the fourth grade now. He didn't say much about the fourth grade, but that third grade stood out to him. And I guess that's what it was. Our math expert there can testify to that. But I got to thinking about a rude awakening. And sometimes we get them, and they come into our lives, and we just don't really realize until it comes to us what we should have been doing or what should have been taking place in our lives. I think that our lessons today, things that are important to Christians, is what my lesson is about, if it's got a title. And as I was studying this, it struck home to me. It probably meant more to me than it ever meant to you guys. And I guess preachers and teachers and stuff, when they're doing extra studying, the Lord reveals to them some of the shortcomings in their lives. I know he did to me. And some of the things I've just taken for granted in my Christian life, didn't really realize how important they really are. The definition of importance, I looked it up because we use that word all the time. I say, it's important that you do this. It's important that this happens or whatever in my business. But I looked up the definition to it, and it says it's of great significance. Important has great meaning. It has great value. it's likely to have a profound effect on success or on survival or on well-being. So when we say something's important, it really is. And today we're going to talk about some of the important things for Christians. This Sunday school class, when you came in today, we got to sign in. Every week they've moved my name around. I don't know if they're trying to get it off the list or whatever. I have to search for it. I don't know if any of your all's names is that way or not. But you didn't realize it, but you were honored today to get to check your name off. There's lots of folks that couldn't check their name off, that's been members of this class and checked their names off week after week after week. So you were honored and blessed that you could check your name off. You're important to this class. You're important to this church. You may not realize it, but you really are. And this church and this class should be important to all of us. I know that sometimes I joke around a lot and cut up in here and have a good time, but there are important things going on in here when the teaching's going on. There's important things going on in the preaching service when the preaching's going on. There's important things going on in all of the services for us if we just stop to think about them and realize it. But one of the most important things, I think, as I was studying for this lesson, I thought about, it's important that you know you're standing with God. Now, I'm going to teach this lesson today considering that all of you are Christians on your way to heaven. There may be someone in here that's not. But before you leave this church today, I'll guarantee you'll have an opportunity to find out about God, about salvation, about your needs in your life. And not many churches got that anymore. Some churches, and I'm as social as anybody else can be, sometimes too social, I guess, or my wife thinks so. But this is serious business. It's important business. It's important that you know you're standing with the Lord. I don't know how often you check up on it. But in 1 John chapter 1, let's turn to that right quickly. We'll read a few verses. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. I may let you out earlier. I didn't think that I would get started this quickly. I thought we'd have more announcements or something, but anyway, if we get done quickly, then I'll give you the announcements. But do you know you're standing with God? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we'll read 5 through 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I said it wouldn't be an invitation or anything in this class today, but that verse right there is your invitation. His blood cleanses us from all sin. If we say in verse 8 that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When you're checking up on your relationship with the Lord, you can't go to him and say, well, Lord, I'm glad that I didn't sin today. Or at least I can't do that. In fact, at night when I lay my head down, I have to say, Lord, I'm thankful that you forgive me my sins. And I have to confess them for that day. And it's strange how that they'll come back to me. Don't think about them too much when I'm doing them. But when I sit down and check up on my relationship with the Lord, my standing with the Lord, then they come back to me. And I'm sure they do to you too. But let's read on. In verse 9, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The reason he can do that is because of what verse 7 said, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If his blood has been applied to your life, then you can claim this verse 9 we can confess our sins, and Jesus' blood has already washed them away as far as God's concerned. But he says he will cleanse us and forgive us of our sins. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I wish I could say, standing up here today, that I've not sinned today. I can't think of it yet, but the Lord will probably remind me of it before the day's out. And so every day we need to check up on it. It's very important. Again, the importance of checking up your standing with the God is of great significance. It really is. It's of great meaning. It's of great value. It's good to know that you're standing with God's in the right shape, that you're in the right shape with God, that there's nothing between you and God. It's also more than likely going to have a profound effect on our success. Not only your success as a Christian, but your success in your marriage, in your work job or whatever, in your business, in your social life. There's nobody goes out striving to be a failure. They just don't do that, right? At least I don't do that. I want to be a success in anything I try to do. I want to be a success today in teaching you all this lesson because I think it's very important. Also, it can have a profound effect on your success, on your survival. I tell you what, you get yourself in a jam. I'm talking about a real jam. You hear of foxhole religion and foxhole repentance. Sometimes we don't have to be in a foxhole to think we're not going to survive. You can be laying in a hospital bed. David can tell you that it's a scary thing sitting in there and not knowing if you're going to survive. I've never had the doctor tell me that, well, you're going to do this or you're going to do that or whatever. But I try to stay away from doctors and hospitals as much as I possibly can. And someday they may come back to haunt me that it was important that I went to those physicals and things like that. But it's important to our survival, and it's always important to our well-being. You just can't be happy knowing that the Lord's upset with you. You just can't do that. And if you claim to be a Christian, well, I tell you what, I can't be happy when Linda's upset with me. And she gets that way every now and then. I don't know why. I just don't really understand that. But she gets that way with me occasionally. And buddy, I tell you what, she doesn't have to write it on the wall. She doesn't have to put it on Facebook or anything else. I get the picture. I have a rude awakening sometimes to that fact that she's upset with me. But I can usually persuade her to become unmad at me, I guess you could say, and beg for forgiveness and promise never to do it again. And all that. She said, yes, I've heard that story a million times. But when it's in our relationship with the Lord, and you're just bent out of shape, the Lord doesn't come down and write it on the wall for you that you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. We might be better if he did that. But he has written it down for us in this book. And it never fails when I read it in the Bible that I'll find something that shows me that, hey, you're missing your standing with the Lord in this particular area. It's so important. It's so important that we think of our standing with the Lord. Not only does our standing with the Lord show us, but it shows us that it's so important to be able to talk to him. Now, when Linda's really mad at me, talking to her is like talking to that piano. It's not going to have any music in it. She just doesn't want to hear what I've got to say. And if I'm mad at her, I probably don't want, and we've been married for 52 years, so we've had a few of these times in our lives. And if you've been married any length of time and say that you've never had one of those times, well, brace yourself. It's coming. Some way or another, you'll get it. And for you young folks that are not married that's in here today, you don't want to start it off that way, but those days will come. But those days of talking to your mate, you can probably talk it out. I've been a salesman most all my life. And so I turn on my salesman charm. And then I said, don't you want this RV? I mean, don't you want to forgive me for what I've done? And what was it that really makes her mad? If I said, now what was it I did that made you so mad? Yeah, what's it going to take? She said, a lot more than you've got. But when we're talking to the Lord in prayer, and he listens to us, whether we know it or not. He expects us to come to him and confess our sins. You know, all of us, or I've got more of it than I should have, and I have to ask the Lord to forgive me of my pride. I really do. That's a thing that kind of haunts me. And I realize it every day that the Lord's been so good to me. Sometimes I think it was me being good. And I try to take the credit for what the Lord's done for me. And then it turns around and the Lord says, you're just being proud, big boy. You need to get that out. I don't want him to take it out of my life, because when he takes it out of there, it's a rude awakening. And I've had a few of those occasions sometimes when I got proud of how well I was doing or how good I was looking or whatever it is. The Lord would send me a mirror, and I'd had that rude awakening that I wasn't nearly as good looking as I thought I was. I wasn't nearly as smart as I thought I was, when my 9-year-old grandson knows more than I do. I have to get him to teach us how to use the computers and stuff like that. But anyway, God knows our downfalls. God knows all about you, but he wants you to tell him. It says you need to confess your sins to him, and that should be a daily practice for all of us. And I find that I have to do it usually twice a day, sometimes three times a day, but we need to keep a clean slate with him. It's easier to keep a clean slate with him than it is sometimes with your spouse or even with yourself. I get mad at myself sometimes. And it takes a while for me to get over that. But God expects us to be praying people. It's important that you know how to pray. It's important that you do pray, because prayer is of great significance. Prayer has great meaning to it. Prayer has great value to it. Prayer is likely to have a profound effect on your success. Prayer's probably going to help you survive. And prayer will create a better well-being for you. It's important. You need not neglect it. If the doctor tells you what to do, he says, this is important that you take these pills today and you get this done or whatever. We kind of listen to that and then, well, that's important. I'm going to do that. But prayer is very important to your Christian life. Prayer is very important in your just everyday well-being. Prayer is very important in whatever you're trying to do to make a living or whatever you're doing. If you're retired, prayer is important for you to know what you're doing while you're retired, not just sitting around. It's a very important thing. It's important to know what God says. And how do we know what God says? He's written it down for us. Now, if Linda would write down everything that she thinks I ought to do and everything that how I ought to behave and all that kind of stuff, and if I'd read it once each day, I might be a little better husband. But God has written down how he wants us to act. He's written down how he wants us to think. I have trouble with my thoughts sometimes. I just have to really watch my thoughts. It's not that they're intelligent thoughts either. Sometimes I wish that I had some other people's brains sometimes, and I thought, well, I could think my way through this situation. But we can't. It's important to know what God says. It's important to read his word. It's important because it's of great significance. His word It's the greatest word you're ever going to read. His word, if it's not significant in your lives, you've got a problem. And you may not realize it until you get a rude awakening that you need to be reading God's word every day. Not only is God's word of great significance, it has great meaning to it. It can teach you how to live and get along with your wife or your husband and get along with other folks and to get along with God. His word teaches us all that. It's of great value. Nobody can debate the value of God's word. And we don't appreciate it sometimes because we've always had it. We kind of take it for granted. We've got more Bibles now in East Tennessee. I guess there's probably enough Bibles in East Tennessee for everybody to have two or three of them. I know at our church library out here where we sell books at the bookstore that people are buying Bibles out there, and Bibles have always been good sellers in the bookstores and all that stuff. But if you go to a country, and I've never been to one, but I've heard the missionaries and you folks that have been on mission trips giving out God's word, how important a Bible is to some of these folks. They think if you gave them a Bible, that you've given them a gift of great value, of great significance, of something that will help them to be successful, some of them that will help their well-being, something that really means something, that is very important to them. And then yet we look at them, well, I better read a verse or two today because that preacher will be on me if I'm not reading the Bible. And of course, my wife gets on me if I don't read. And she knows that I need it. And it's important that we do that. And I know that you all need it. You may not realize that you need it, but you do. And sometimes I'll read it, and the Lord will just really bless me. Sometimes I'll read it, and I say, well, I didn't really understand that. So I found a book that's really helped me. It's by J. Vernon McGee. He goes through the entire Bible. And so I've started by, and Linda got me doing this. She reads a chapter a day and reads his commentary on that whole chapter. And, of course, we're both kind of semi-retired, so that gives us time to do that. And where you have to be on a job 8 hours a day or whatever, it is he writes a lot. I mean, and he really opens up a verse that's hard to understand and puts it in a way that is just revealing. So I found that that's a great help to me. And there's other books, I'm sure. You could ask Pastor Jody or Gary about some other commentaries that would help you in your Bible reading, especially if you're a young Christian. I wish I'd done that years and years ago. It got me a good commentary to read along with my daily Bible reading. It's helped me immensely. And J. Vernon McGee tells it like it is. He has a saying in there, where the rubber meets the road. And he puts it like that to you. So it's if you can't understand what he says, then you better get back to praying some more. God in his word tells us about life, how that it's very important, our lives are. It tells us about love, how that we should love one another. It tells us about his love for us. Sometimes folks get down in the dumps, think nobody cares about them, and it's easy to do that. Get to feeling sorry for yourself. God's word will tell you about love, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he's interested in your life, in your well-being. God's interested in your success. He's interested in you learning how to help others do the same thing. God's word also tells us about our sin. That's not the fun part of it, because none of us like to be told when we're wrong, or at least I don't. I've always been like that when I was a little kid. My parents, it's a wonder that I survived that, because they were all the time telling me I was wrong, and I kept thinking, well, I'm not wrong. And then they'd have to show me that I was wrong. And I continued that practice on with my kids. And it tells us, God's Word tells us how to raise our kids, believe it or not. And we miss that part of the Scripture so many times. And in this day and time, we've had so many psychologists and analysts and all these other people to tell us how to raise our kids. And 9 out of 10 of them never agrees with what God says. And we've taken away corporal punishment in our homes. And of course, I'm glad my grandkids don't need any of that. They're all perfect. But their parents got enough of it when they were growing up to spread a couple of generations, I guess. But we need to get back to raising our kids the way the Bible tells us to. And of course, my kids are raised. And now I'm watching my kids raise my grandchildren. And every now and then I look at them and I say, that's not the way I raised you. And I think their corporal punishment, of course, I hate to see my grandkids spanked, but there's comes about once or twice a day that they all need it. And some of those two boys have been with us for the last 3 or 4 days, and I had to go to work. Linda says, you forgot what enjoyment was raising these kids. And can you remember having 5 of them in the house at the same time? But the Bible tells us how to raise our kids. I failed so many times because I failed to do it the way the Bible says to do it. And I tell you what, in your life, and whatever you're doing, when you get away from the way the Bible says to do it, God's Word says to do it. And He tells us about every facet of our lives. I mean, tells us about love. He tells us about sin. And the next thing He tells us about is standards. A lot of people don't like those words. Our employees, I've got over 50 employees now. It's hard for me to imagine that. And I guess the Lord's paying me back because I used to be an employee at Eastman when I was a young man. And I thought I was the best thing that they ever had. I really did. I thought I was the best employee that could possibly be until I went in business for myself and finally had an employee. 1, and then 2, and then it just kept growing. And I found out, boy, I'm reaping what I sowed. And I wish that I'd been a better employee when I was there. So wherever you're working, whatever you're doing, God's Word tells you to do it the best you can do it. And respect your employers and respect the people that work with you doing your job. I was in a plant the other day where they build RVs. They build 28 travel trailers in one day. I mean, they pull the frame in, and it's got the wheels and tires on it. And before the day's out, it comes out the back door ready to sell. Or they tell us it's ready to sell. We find sometimes it's not really ready to sell. But anyway, they have to work together, those people do. If one man lays down on his job, then it's going to throw the whole thing out of kelter. So the Bible tells us we need to learn how to work. It's very important that you work like a Christian should work. Because if you want to have a testimony in your workplace, just lay down on the job and you'll have a testimony, all right. We have cameras in all of our stores now, or our 3 stores. And the manager of our store in Sevierville, and most of y'all, well, Nick knows him real well. But anyway, he called Rusty, my son, yesterday, and we were at the ball game. And he says, can you pull up the camera? Well, we've got these fancy phones and stuff now, and we can pull up the cameras and see what's going on wherever we want to. He pulled it up and he says, well, back in the shop, you've got 4 service techs standing there talking to each other. And one of the service techs had his own car up on one of the lifts that's in their building. And we can also check out, when they get through with a job that we've assigned to them, then they clock in and out on that job. Well, he hadn't clocked out of working on anything, and he was working on his car on our time. He won't do that again because he got fired yesterday. He had to call him in the office. That's something hard to do. I mean, everybody needs their job. And they all start begging for their jobs when you have to fire them. But Kevin told him, he says, you're just stealing from the company. And you're working on your own car using our time. And time is the most valuable thing we've got. They can use our shop supplies and stuff like that, and we probably won't miss that. But if you're working on your job, respect your employer. Don't be using up their materials for your own good. Don't be taking it home with you. And give them 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. And if they're not paying you for the 8 hours, go someplace where they will pay you for the 8 hours. Don't stand around and gripe about it and cause other people to. But anyway, God's word tells us about life. It tells us how important it is. And I was getting ready to start on standards. A lot of churches don't believe in any kind of standards. But the Bible teaches standards. It teaches us how we're supposed to dress. It teaches us how we're supposed to live and communicate with one another and get along with one another. The Bible also teaches us about giving. And when you get in people's pocketbooks, it makes it a little tougher for them to sit there and listen to it. Now, I haven't heard Jody preach a message I can remember of on tithing or giving or anything like that, because our church, this class, is a very giving church. And when we all give, then we're helping this church to take care of missionaries. We're helping to take care of these kids that come in on buses. We're helping to take care of the buses. We're helping pay their salaries. They got to be paid. I went to a church when I was just a kid, and the preacher had to work for a living. The church would not support him. They easily could have. But they just thought that was wrong, that they'd pay a preacher. He ought to get out and work like everybody else was working. I've also learned something else about giving. The Old Testament teaches us about tithing. That was the law. The New Testament doesn't say a thing about tithing as far as that you're supposed to give 10%. Christ just thought that the 10% that was taught in the Old Testament would be our starting point. And that's what the New Testament teaches us. It teaches us that we're supposed to give from our abundance. And if there's a person sitting in here today that doesn't have an abundance, you can't measure your abundance by Donald Trump's abundance, but you measure your abundance by what the Lord has done for you and how the Lord has blessed you. And pretty soon, you will find out that you have an abundance. It took me a while to understand that. I thought that you had to be a multimillionaire to have abundance. And I'm sure that my abundance is greater than some. And there's lots of folks that you never suspected has great abundance. They never show it. They never, they don't drive fancy cars. They don't live in big homes. And they've got great abundance. The Lord expects us to give back out of our abundance. 10% is a good starting point. So if you're not tithing, if you're not giving, I recommend that you start with the 10% and then increase it out of your abundance. And it's strange how your abundance will grow. It really is. I can't explain it other than the Bible teaches it. Also, I've already went over the conduct. The Word of God teaches us about our conduct, about child rearing, about friendships. One good important thing it tells us about our friendships, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. In this day and time, the churches have gotten people so used to anything goes. Any way you want to act, anything you want to do, anything you want to say, that's all right, because God loves you. But God teaches standards. And I thank the Lord for Preacher Lassie. When I came to church here, I never thought too much about standards in church. But standards in church will teach you how that you have standards in your life. And the Bible teaches standards. So don't ever be afraid of them. And there's so much more in God's Word. I hope that you'll start reading it. It's very important. It's of great significance in your life. It's key to your success in your Christian life and in your everyday life. It has great value to it. I hope that you'll read it. Get a daily pattern of praying. I talked to a preacher this week, kind of inadvertently I got to talk to him. He said he started out a 15-minute thing every morning where he got up 15 minutes earlier than everybody else did, so the house was quiet, and started doing his devotions and getting in touch with God every morning. He said, I got so used to that, he said, I changed it to 30 minutes. He said, now I'm on an hour. He said, it's amazing. Now, I'm not telling you that you have to do 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, but you need to set aside a time. And it's a pattern in your life that you're talking to God, finding out you're standing with Him, and you're reading your Bible, and you're studying it, and you're trying to learn from your Bible. I use that J. Vernon McGee commentary to help me understand it better. It's all important. It's all in the Bible. It's explained each time the doors are opened here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It's important that you be here. It's important that you be in this class. It's important that you set an example for your other family members that are not going to church. They say, well, he goes to church all the time. They ought to say that about you, and they ought to say that about me, because none of us are so strong or so good that we neglect something so important as being in church, living for God, reading His Word, and praying and talking to Him, and trying to be like a Christian. So next week, you be here. It's important. Gary's going to be expecting you to be here. I expect to be here, Lord willing. And we need to be here every time the doors are open, if we possibly can. I enjoy Wednesday night services. We have good prayer meeting services here. So if you've not been partaking in that, that's another avenue that you can use that's important. Never ever think that a service here at the church is unimportant, that you can stay home and watch a ball game, or stay home, and I like ball games as good as anybody else, or stay home and watch a race, or whatever, pre-recorded, or whatever you want to do, and come on to church. It's very important. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank You for being able to stand here and speak for a few minutes. I pray that these folks will understand how important it is that we keep a checkup on our lives with You, how important it is that we're in Your Word every day, how important it is that we talk to You every day, and how important it is that we make sure our sins are covered by Your blood, dear Lord Jesus. Amen. All righty. That didn't take too long.